Beloved, welcome to worship today at St. Stephen's. You are so welcome here. Would you join me in today's holy greeting? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And hear today's call to worship. People of God, look around and see the faces of those we know and love, neighbors and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look around and see the faces of those we hardly know, strangers, visitors, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look around and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come, let us worship together. And we light the Christ candle as one of those symbolic actions, recognizing that Jesus came to save the lost and the poor, the hungry of heart. He came to save you and me. Praise be to God. Let's pray together. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we gather in your presence with thanksgiving and praise for the way in which you have revealed yourself to us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, we have come to know and love you. We have seen your love and mercy in action. We have caught a glimpse of your heart, and we have heard the call to follow. Continue to reveal yourself to us as we worship. May your Holy Spirit open our minds and hearts to your presence here, and to the word that you have for us this morning. We long to meet you here, and to know you better. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Saviour. Amen.
Friends, let's say our prayer of confession together. God of tender mercy, we sadly confess that the reality of your grace and mercy often escapes us, and that we frequently find ourselves still trying to win your love by our merits, and to secure salvation by our own feeble efforts, instead of trusting in you and in our love for in Christ Jesus. Forgive us, we pray, and convince us once and for all that our loads have been lifted and our burdens made light by the atoning work of the one we call the Lamb. In his redeeming name we pray. Amen. People of God, know this. Our God is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The scriptures tell us this all over the place. When we stumble, God is there to catch us, and when we're weighed down, he is there to lift us up. So friends, be at peace because your sins have been forgiven. This is the good news of our gospel. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. How can I account for this generation? The people have been like spoiled children whining to their parents. We wanted to skip rope and you were always too tired. We wanted to talk, but you were always too busy. John came fasting, and they called him crazy. I came feasting, and they called me a boozer, a friend of the misfits. Opinion polls don't count for much, do they? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. Not keeping it to myself, I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, as we've heard, the lectionary this week has us reading two bits from the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Now, at first glimpse, these two different pieces appear to not have very much to connect them. The first verses are part of a long section that come before them, a section that actually takes up most of the chapter. John the Baptist has sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he really is the one who was to come or not. And their question seems to strike a nerve with Jesus. It sets him off into something that can sound awfully like a rant. He lamented the fact that people seem to keep missing what was right before them. Jesus makes a pretty good argument. He points out that John came, living an ascetic life, denying himself any of life's pleasures like good food and drink, and people were critical of that. They thought he was strange, maybe even possessed by a demon, and they couldn't accept him or his message. But they had exactly the opposite objection to Jesus, who was known for gathering with his friends for a good meal and a few drinks. They called him a glutton and a drunk. And so they didn't accept him either. I'm not sure whether Jesus thought this, but I read this and find myself thinking, what on earth do they want? It seems that neither John's way nor Jesus' way were what people expected from their holy men, let alone from their Messiah. Now, it is easy to write these people off as being blind and faithless, but that's not actually very fair. Remember, this whole scene began with John the Baptist's question of whether Jesus really was the one to come or not. John the Baptist, who was the one who'd been given the task of announcing the coming of the Messiah. John was a man of deep faith, and he had that profound calling from God. And yet, there were points at which he wasn't even sure that Jesus was the Messiah. So if John was struggling, is it any wonder that the people were? I like to think that I wouldn't have missed it had I lived and encountered Jesus, that I would have known clearly who he was. But I don't know, if John the Baptist wasn't sure, then I suspect I would have been as unsure and confused as pretty much everyone else. Being able to recognize Jesus amongst us has always been a central part of the Christian life. And that is as much true today as it ever was. Being able to recognize him actually depends to a great extent on what you're looking for, on what you expect him to be like and the kinds of things that you think he might be liable to be doing or maybe not doing. In this reading, it was Jesus' rousing social life that confused people and made them doubt. No one expected or thought they wanted a Messiah who enjoyed a great evening of wonderful food and drink with friends, especially the kinds of friends that Jesus seemed to be gathering. Personally, I actually have to confess I love that part about Jesus, but I know that there are still people who object to that part of his life. Some of them are even Christians. We've talked here many times about how people in Jesus' time generally expected that the Messiah was going to be someone like King David, Israel's greatest king. They were watching for a military man, a man who would send their Roman occupiers packing and restore them to freedom in the land God had given them. So they were expecting the Messiah to bring a kingdom, but it wasn't the kind of kingdom that Jesus was promising. So many people never even opened themselves to the possibility that Jesus truly was the one God had promised to send. Well, unfortunately, we often face these same struggles today. The details are just a little different for us. We aren't able to recognize Jesus' movement around us and his leading of us, often because we're not looking for the right kinds of things. We hope and we expect that he will be attending to the things that we feel like are our biggest problems right now. And when it doesn't seem like he's fixing those things, we get a little bit like John the Baptist, and we begin to wonder if he is really even with us. So like John and so many of those first century folks, we miss Jesus simply because we're not looking for the right kinds of things. And that's actually really the point that connects the two parts of our reading for today. Where the first part of today's scripture is Jesus' lament about how people don't recognize what, or rather who, is right before them. In the second part of our reading, he offers us something that can correct that problem, that will actually correct that problem. He starts this second section by first effectively establishing his credibility. Jesus tells us why he is worth paying attention to. While people thought and hoped that God was going to send that brilliant military leader to defeat the Romans, we know that their hopes were too small. Because as Jesus says here, God hadn't sent another anointed, gifted military or political leader. God had sent him. God, who Jesus explains is actually his father, had sent Jesus, God's own son, to do so much more than just sort out their political problems. God the Father had sent Jesus, his son, to lead them to true freedom and to a life that was so much more than even their highest hopes and dreams. And he would do that by showing them exactly who and how God is. Jesus came to reveal God to us. And he does that not by explaining God in some abstract, theologically complex way. Jesus quite literally shows us who God is, simply by showing us who he is. Because in truth, Jesus, who is God the Son, is the exact perfect reflection of God the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, get to know Jesus. and you will realize exactly who God is. Well, having established his credibility by explaining that he is the one to listen to, and even more, the one to watch, Jesus moves on and he extends an incredible invitation to us all. It is an invitation that holds within it all any of us need to be able to recognize and see Jesus for who he is, and to be able to see him moving all around us. It is an invitation that I can tell you from firsthand experience will truly change your life. Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me." That's all it takes. And if we respond, we discover both the very first step and actually the entire way to that life of wholeness and fullness with God that we were created for. In Jesus' day, many good and faithful people were exhausted with trying to live under the impossible burden of trying to find their way to God by keeping all of the Jewish laws fastidiously. And Jesus could see that that wasn't working. And so he says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me." And then he promises that if we do, here's what we'll experience. He says, "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Friends, the life that Jesus has for us is not one of burden or of trying to be someone we're not. It's a life that itself brings life. Life to us and life to others. It's a life of walking with Jesus, watching for what he's doing and for how he does it. It's a life that is birthed in grace. And it's a life that is also entirely from beginning to end and beyond end, bathed in grace. It is a life of true freedom, not just freedom from the things around us that oppress us, but freedom from the things within each of us, within each of our hearts and minds, things that somehow keep us captive to fear and anxiety and anger and pride and a whole host of negative emotions that quite literally suck the life out of us. It's a life where we are completely free to be our true selves. No more faking it, no more imposter syndrome, just being us. It is life in God's kingdom. The kingdom that Jesus came and the kingdom life that he embodied in his life. The kingdom that he invites us to join him in establishing for all. So today, and actually every day, there are really two questions about this that matter. The first: do you believe, or do you want to believe, that Jesus really is who he said he is? And the second is, does this life of freedom and grace, does it sound like what you want for your life? If your answer to those questions is yes, then I actually, honestly, truly believe that Jesus might be speaking directly to you through our passage today. I think he's saying, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll discover real life. Life that is whole and life that is full. Life that is absolutely filled with grace and light. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful for the peace we receive, no matter what circumstance we are presently in. We are in awe of the rich, unfathomable love that you offer our whole world and to each of us personally. Our whole world is in very difficult times, either because of the massive population that we are, as well as the greed for natural resources, which we continue to exploit in minerals, plants, animals, and people. Help all of us in the world to refocus our lives on being good stewards. That is, paying attention to what is truly sufficient for our needs, having respect for other cultures, individuals that we meet, no matter their circumstances. Help each of us to become more compassionate and to offer mercy for all who are suffering from illness, a lack of housing and nourishment. And we ask that all who are ill receive a sense of your peace and comfort. For those suffering from addictions, we ask that they be given new hope, new health, and strategies that they trust. Open our hearts in each of our congregations to deepening grace and mercy to all folk that we encounter. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, your tithes and offerings really do make a difference. We thank you for all that you give. Would you pray the offertory prayer with me? Almighty God, it is with great joy that we bring these gifts to you. We are honored to be serving you, and where we cannot go in person, we pray that your ministry may reach out through these offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, good morning. It's great to be back here with you at St. Stephen's to bring you a little update on the activities of the board over the last little while. It's certainly nice to be enjoying summer, and we hope that everyone that's watching this video is getting a chance to get out and enjoy summer and have a wonderful time wherever you are in this great country. Lots of exciting things happening here at God's Church in Oceanside, and I just want to bring you up to date with some of the things that the board's been doing. Firstly, to get it out of the way, the financial situation at St. Stephen's is evolving somewhat as we had hoped it would. Givings are up slightly, expenses have been managed carefully and are lower than we thought possible when we put the budget together. Staff have done an excellent job of keeping costs down, and volunteers have done a great job of picking up some of the work that has previously been done by contract workers. At this point in time, the board is feeling comfortable that we can end the year in a reasonable financial position, and the Finance and Stewardship Ministry team will be doing a thorough review once we get to the end of September and we see the financial data, and that will guide the remainder of the year for us. Just like to say thank you to everyone for your financial support and your volunteering support. It all makes such a great difference to how well we can manage the finances of our church. The biggest thing that's happening here is going to happen in one more week, and that's Reverend Diane is going on a leave of absence for about 3 months. The board is fully supportive of Diane's leave and support her taking this time after 15 years of service here and going through this pandemic mess that we've had to work with for the last 3 years. So we're very supportive of Diane taking time to recharge her batteries, and we're looking forward to her coming back fully engaged with us. Over the last month or so, the Ministry and Personnel Committee, along with Diane, has set up a full ministry service team so that things will be seamless here at St. Stephen's. We've got Phil and Foster and Jane and Andy looking after the Sunday services. Phil's going to look after the staff relations issues and some of the regional authority issues that require him to attend board meetings and those kinds of things. Foster's going to be looking after the pastoral care needs, as well as the new pastoral care team that we have here at St. Stephen's. So if you need pastoral care over the summer or through the next few months, please be in touch with the office and make sure that we're aware of what your needs are or those of others that you're aware of that need some pastoral care, and we'll make sure those needs are met. The board wishes Diane well during her leave, and we've promised not to bother her while she's on leave. Not that we bother her as a rule, but we'll try and leave her alone so that she can recover and do the things that she wants to do during her leave. On one of the regular events that happens at St. Stephen's that often requires Reverend Diane's involvement and support is the Bible study that happens here every Wednesday. And there were those that thought, well, we could just shut it off for a couple of months and that wouldn't be the end of the world. But Kevin and Carol have come up with a wonderful program for the next 3 months of Wednesdays, looking at Bible studies and the odd little trip here and there for anyone that wants to join that Bible study group. And anyone and everyone are welcome to do so. I'm sure you're going to have a great time as they continue the fellowship of that Bible study group. The Pacific Mountain Region Council just had its summer meeting, and Reverend Diane attended by Zoom, and Chuck and Grace Barkman attended in person. Chuck and Grace are our regional representatives. They did a great job and brought back a great report from that meeting. Several business types of things dealt with, several growth things dealt with. One important one for us as a board, though, is there's a remit from the United Church of Canada that deals with the Native Church that was established a few years ago and is now looking to take ownership of the service programming that they can do with inside that church, and it requires a decision by our board of directors. And what we've decided to do is wait until November to do that, because we have time when Diane is back with us to make sure we've gone through all of the issues and the remit properly and are being correctly supportive of that application by our native church in the United Church of Canada. I guess big thank you to Chuck and Grace for attending that meeting on our behalf. For those of you that were able to join the chili cook-off, I'll just say it was a great opportunity for our members to get together and share some fellowship and share some stories and eat some pretty darn good chili as well. We're looking for all kinds of ways that we can bring fellowship to our congregation and to the community that we work in here. So if you've got ideas, please be prepared to share them with us, and we'll see if we can't just make that happen. We're still trying to get a quote on printing the new church bulletin. We've got all the pictures taken, and we're very happy to have some of you folks on the on our online service who have decided they'd like to be part of our bulletin. And if you hurry and you're interested, please get in touch with us, and we'll try to get your pictures into that bulletin as well. You're very much a part of our church, and we want you to be part of our church bulletin so that we know how to be in touch with you if we need to be. Just a final comment saying I know everybody's going to be away and traveling and busy during the summer. We'll have a full slate of services here at St. Stephen's. We're hoping that those of you who are traveling that might be seeing us online all the time that end up here can join us on a Sunday morning for our service here and for a little bit of fellowship. But please, wherever you go, keep in mind that we're coming back to this church, and we're building it to a point where anyone and everyone who wants to celebrate God's love and worship God in a group of wonderful people in a fellowship spot, that this is the church and the place to do that. So please feel free to join us whenever you have an opportunity to do so. Travel safe, be safe, and have a lot of fun every day. Thanks for listening.
Friends, just as God's word was sent into the world to heal and redeem, so God sends you into the world this day to be light and love, to bring healing and hope. So go now and be that light for the world. And as you go, may the peace of our God, who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.
a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God. Of the Lord.